This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, Got Problems? Pastor Scott provides biblical guidance in dealing with the stresses brought on by the current COVID-19 community quarantine. This message was presented on Sunday, March 29th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, my East Hawaii family and friends. Oh, it is a different world now in the last few weeks. This is our second Facebook Live broadcast, and you know, I hope you're able to join us. We're trying to put up the notes on our screen so you can follow along, and I hope that helps. Man, what a trying time we are facing with the social distancing. Man, that's so difficult. You know, I haven't seen my children in almost a week, and man, I really missed them. I haven't seen most of my church family in over a week, and man, I missed the hugs and the kisses and the fist bumps and the high fives. I miss being at our church and doing service as normal. But, you know, we need to understand what our government is trying to do in trying to stop this virus from spreading. And so here we are, church on Facebook. And I apologize last week for the audio not getting uploaded onto our website. Apparently, when you record a service, you have to press record, which, duh, I forgot to press record. So please forgive me. I am recording this one now for the audio. That's why I have this headset on, so that it can be uploaded to our website later on this afternoon. For those of you who don't have Facebook, they can receive this audio. But, you know, this morning before we begin, I'd ask that you would bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, man, we thank you that we still get to do church, even though we're far apart. Lord, we pray that this virus would stop spreading. And Lord, we pray for those in New York, California, Louisiana, who really have seen the spike in this spreading. And Lord, I pray that you would be with all of our loved ones who may be in those districts and who are away from us, that you would keep them safe. And even if they catch this virus, Lord, that you would heal them. Lord, we pray for those who are affected by work, who cannot work, that you would provide for them. I pray for our government leaders to make wise choices as they lead us through this season. And for the rest of us who are cooped up at home, I pray that we would take the time to build relationships with one another and with you. Lord, I pray for our frontline workers, our medical staff, our police and firemen, that you would protect them, that you would keep them safe, and that you would give them wisdom, who to see, who not to see. And Lord, I pray for the testing that goes on, that we would get the results quickly and that we would get through this season. But before we get through this season, Lord, teach us the lessons we need to know. Maybe we need to pray more. Maybe we need to spend time with you more or with our spouse. Help us to learn those lessons quickly so we can get out of this season. Lord, we thank you so much that we still get to reach out through Facebook. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's message, and, you know, who knows the but God, that I wrote this several weeks ago before all this explosion of this COVID-19. And it's titled, Got Problems, Lord, Don't We All? I mean, with all this going on. And we have so much, you know, some of us may be out of work, out of food, cannot pay our bills, and we got so much problems, more so now, with this COVID-19. Oh, and I thank God that tsunami didn't come the other night. It was like, on top of everything else, it's like, no, we don't need this. And man, we all, if you're alive, basically, you will have problems. You know, we went fishing earlier this month. just some of us guys and one lady, of course. She wanted to explore with us. But we went fishing in this place that was extremely bad, the road. I mean, there is no road. And when we were coming home, we were still way, way in there, like 10, 15 miles in an off-road territory. And when we were coming out, my truck, it just stopped working. It just died right there in the middle of the worst four-wheel drive territory. And extremely bad. A place where most trucks won't even make it. And it didn't look good. The battery, it wouldn't even turn. The power pack we used to jump the cars didn't even turn the engine. It didn't even make it click. And put it simply, we were just stuck. And throughout that situation, we prayed. I didn't grumble, but I wasn't the happiest person. So we tried to get my truck going, and we kept searching for solutions. A tow truck was never going to make it in there because of where we were stuck. And during this time, I kept asking God, what is the lesson that I need to learn here? There were many lessons he taught me that day. But after about an hour of trying to get the truck going, we came up with a solution. And I thank God that Al was with us, and he had recently purchased a nice white Jeep Rubicon. It was a really nice car. So we hooked a tow strap, and he pretty much dragged me out over the rocks, the sharp turns, the hills, the loose gravel, for probably like 10, 15 miles, maybe more, until we reached the highway. And then a flatbed tow truck came and got me and took me home. You know, over the years of serving God, I realized that the devil, he will try very hard to discourage us. And when he does, it's best not to grumble or complain. I mean, it's so easy to fall into that trap of grumbling, complaining when we have problems. But it's best not to. The other day, I was trying to figure out how to use Zoom. And I was getting so frustrated. I just wanted to quit. And I kept racking my brains and trying to make this thing work. I watched videos on YouTube, and I was getting very frustrated. And it really sucked so much life out of me that when I got home from my office, I think I slept for like 2 hours because I was so drained. And I prayed and I prayed, and I did get some of the stuff working, but not to where I wanted, and I still have more work to do on it. You know, back in the day before Christ, I would have probably grumbled about my truck being stuck. I would probably say, let's push it in the ocean and let's say it got stolen and go collect. But that was the old me. And if you're following along with me this morning, I would ask that you would open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. It's fairly in the beginning part. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. It's after the Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Okay, so Nehemiah. Here's the thing I want to start with asking you. When you have a problem, what is your response? And the first one is, do you grumble? Cool, because I used to always grumble. Are we catching this? I hope we... Somebody's been texting me.
Yeah, there's...
Okay. Well, if you're catching this, it's great. I hope you are. So when you have problems, what is your response? Do you grumble? Or do you curse? Or do you blame others? I mean, A and B was my first response before coming to know Christ. I would grumble, I would curse, and I would blame. Or do you, pray? or D, look for a solution. The first two will not solve any of your problems, but probably make it worse. We all live in a fallen world, and the fact that we are surrounded by evil in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, communities, schools, and where we do business. It seems that every day on the news, there is bad news and problems. Countries making threats, and it's just bad news. Politicians blaming each other for things gone wrong. People getting fired for what someone said about them. False accusations. We all have problems. It seems like after we get through one problem, there's another one waiting to come. And what should our response be to those problems? Should we just grumble? Should we curse and blame somebody else for our problems? It seems like that's what the world is doing. And I believe perspective and attitude has a lot to do with our problems. We can say, why me? Why now? We can say, well, I am alive. That's why I have problems. Because once we die, then we won't have no more problems. If you have problems with your boss, that means you have a job. If you have problems with your neighbor, that means you have a place to live. If you're like me and you had problems with your car, that means you have something to drive. That means you don't have to catch the bus. You know, years ago when I wasn't coming to church, my wife was, Christy, and she was faithfully attending and serving at New Hope Puna, and I was just continuing living in the world. And it was a way for me, a lifestyle that was very, very difficult, was bad. And we had, I was living a very sinful life, very dark. We had been married several years and we were barely making ends meet. The funds were tight, but I still managed to buy beer and cigarettes and some other vices, you know. Paying bills was very difficult, and I wasn't about to cut out my beer and my cigarettes. That wasn't an option at this point. As we struggled financially, one day I opened the checkbook and I seen the checks my wife wrote to the church, and my instinct, I blamed her for us not being able to pay our bills because of what she was giving to the church. And as I look back, you know, I'm so ashamed of my actions, my ignorance in blaming her for our financial mess. It was immature, it was careless on my part, it was outright wrong. Years later, when I decided to let God into my life, I learned about how things work. In Christ, I came to understand what tithing really meant. And I realized it wasn't Christy's fault because our bills weren't getting paid, but it was actually my fault as the head of the household. A lot of times when things go wrong, it's so easy to blame someone else for the mess instead of us taking ownership and finding a proper solution. As long as there is life in you, there will be problems. So sorry to bring you that bad news, but I wouldn't call it bad news because I believe problems can change our life for the better. So if you're in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So Nehemiah here, he wasn't the first of the exiles to return to Jerusalem. There was Zerubbabel, who had led the first group back in 538 BC, more than 90 years earlier. And Ezra followed with the second group in 458 BC. And here, Nehemiah was ready to lead a third major group to return to Jerusalem. When he arrived there, after a three-month journey, he saw the completed temple and became acquainted with others who had returned from their homeland. But Nehemiah also found a disorganized group of people and a defenseless city with no walls to protect it. So when he came back and he said, like, the walls, the gates were all destroyed, he was kind of sad. And then coming down to verse 4, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, I beseech you, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of Israel, which we have sinned against you, and my father's house have sinned. We have acted corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinance which you have commanded your servant Moses. Now, Nehemiah was deeply grieved about the condition of Jerusalem, but he didn't just sit there and brood about it. After his initial grief, he prayed. And I think that's what we need to do during this time. We need to pray. And he poured out his heart to God. And he looked for ways to improve the situation. Nehemiah put all of his resources of knowledge, experience, and organizations in determining what should be done. So, hey, if you got problems, you need to pray. Okay? That's the first point on your bulletin. Scott, you can move that up to, you got to pray. Okay? That's the first thing if you got problems, pray. In Philippians 4:6, Paul writes to the Philippian church, don't worry about anything. See, we cannot worry about COVID-19. I think worry does nothing for it. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. You know, how many of us, when a problem arises, the first thing we do is worry? Been there, done that. You know, if you worry about COVID-19, you worry about getting it. You worry about spreading it. You're worried about how it's shutting everything down. The worrying part would not make it go away. Would not make you not get it. Would not get you your job back. So I think that's why Paul writes, don't worry about anything. You know, if you lost your job and you can't pay your bills, if you are worrying about it, man, the worry ain't going to get you your job back. But Paul says, he said, pray. Pray about everything. You know, back on January 17th, I went to Oahu for my 6-month dermatology checkup. And I told my dermatologist, there was something funny over here. There's like a little bump. And she took a biopsy from my jawline. You might be able to see the scar over here. And a few days later, on January 21st, they called me and they said that the biopsy came back positive for squamous cell carcinoma, which is like, what? I couldn't understand the words they were using. But they informed me that's one of the most, the second most common type of skin cancer. So they referred me to another dermatologist. And on February 11th, they actually put some numbing things around there, and they actually cut it out. They said they pulled out some things the size of a dime. Unfortunately, they did not let me take it home. Probably put it in a bottle with some alcohol and just for a testimony. But throughout that time, I wasn't worried. I wasn't afraid, only because before all this happened, on January 18th, as I was reading my Bible, God spoke to me in this way from Exodus 1:12. But the more they afflicted them, so this is what's happening when they were in Egypt and Joseph had died. The more that they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. So here we are, find the sons of Israel are in Egypt. There's a new Pharaoh who doesn't know what Joseph has done for them. And the old Pharaoh had died, Joseph had died, the new leader takes over. And as he looks at the Hebrews, he feels threatened because they are so numerous. So he makes a plan to make them slaves. But the harsher he treated them, the more they grew. So my application is, affliction can have two results. Either it will grow me closer to God, or it will drift me away from God. And it's always my choice which happens. And I need to let affliction push me closer to God. And I need to teach others the same. So God was telling me this, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Okay, because I got this the day after they took the biopsy. And I was saying, okay, God, you're telling me that something's going to happen. And it's going to draw me closer to you. It's going to make me stronger. So that's why I encourage each of you to read your Bible, because God will speak to you and he will get you ready for what's coming. But if you choose not to read your Bible, when problems come, you will worry. You will be unprepared. It's like starting the football season and not having done any of the preseason work, the weightlifting, the training, the preseason games. You know, how would you like a doctor to perform surgery on you without preparation? And once they cut you open, they said, oh, I got to go look at YouTube to figure out all these things while you bleed out and die. But that's not so good. So first of all, we pray. Second of all, we find a solution. Exodus 4:2. The Lord said to him, what is this in your hand? And he said, a staff. Now, here, Moses, he had a problem. God called him to free his people from slavery from Pharaoh in Egypt. Moses had a problem. He didn't want to go. He grumbled with God. He didn't want to go and do what God has called him to do. You know, I call that the Jonah syndrome. You know, you want to run away from what God has called you to do. And I've been there. I've done that. I wanted to run away. I didn't want to speak in front of people. I was always nervous. Still am. I always want. But when you read about what Moses did and how the Bible says the Lord's anger burned against him, I don't want that to happen. You know, a lot of times when we have a problem, the solution is in our presence. Like Moses, in his case, the solution to his problem was a staff that was in his hands. Perhaps the solution to our problems might be your Bible. It could be a sermon. It could be a brother or sister in Christ who gives you an encouraging word. You know, we have many problems. We have right now media that you can log onto with many messages on problem solvings. You know, we can grumble and complain. I can grumble and complain all we like that we cannot meet. And I could even break the rules and say, hey, we're going to meet no matter what. I don't care. But if this virus spreads because of the church, that would be pretty bad. It would give us a bad reputation.
But we can grumble and complain all we want, but that usually doesn't solve any problems, but usually makes things worse. When we are faced with problems, man, we need to become problem solvers. And then our third point, ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. When you ask for wisdom, when you pray for wisdom, man, maybe you should just like hold your hand out, expecting God to pour it into you. And ask, because God will give you wisdom. A problem is only a problem if you refuse to look for a solution. Let me say that again. A problem is only a problem if you refuse to look for a solution. So whether you're at your home or maybe you're at your friend's house, I'm not sure where you're at, but most likely you're at home, I want to ask you these questions. You might want to write them down because it's not on top of here. How do you solve problems? How do you solve problems? I mean, do you grumble? Do you complain? Do you pray? Do you do something? What will be your first response to problems? What would be your first response to problems? Again, would it be grumbling? Would it be complaining? And what would be your first response to problems? And the last one, who will keep you accountable to your answers to these questions? Like, if you said, how do you solve problems? If you said pray, who will keep you accountable for praying when you have problems? And if you say, look for a solution, who will keep you accountable for that? Because once we turn this off, once we end this broadcast, and you know you have a problem, you could blame your spouse, you could grumble, you could complain, like, I couldn't hear Pastor Scott, and like, oh, they need to get things better. And man, instead of doing that, just pray for us, because we're trying our best to get this word out to everyone. And if you miss it, you can always rewatch it. Yeah. So how do you solve problems? I want us to go forward from here having a different outlook on our problems, having a different outlook on how we face our problems and what we do with our problems, how we solve our problems. I want us to not be people who grumble or complain, but I want us to be people to pray, to offer solutions, and be positive about it. Oh, man, I really, truly miss you guys. I will be continue to putting up posts on our Facebook page, New Hope East Hawaii. If you need the notes ahead of time, send me your email address. I can email notes to you so you can print them ahead of time. If you want to drop a prayer request, you can email it to newhopeeasthawaii@hotmail.com. But I would love to just close with some prayer, so if you would bow your heads. Oh Lord, help us to deal with this crisis in a positive way. Help us use this time alone to pray, to seek you. Help us to use social media to send out encouraging words to one another. And FaceTime and Zoom, whatever else we need, just so that we can stay connected from afar. Thank you, Lord, that we get to still do this through social media. I pray for all those in New Hope East Hawaii and beyond who get this video, that they would get something out of this. And Lord, I pray that you would help us stay connected. Let not one of us be lost because of what's going on. Let us not lose one person. Let us not one person go astray. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you guys. Pray for me as I will be praying for you.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii usually meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. But during this period of social distancing, regular services are not being held. Pastor Scott will be on hand at Christian Liberty Academy on Sunday mornings to help those who are in need of pastoral care. Till this period of self-isolation is over, be part of the New Hope East Hawaii family by visiting our Facebook page or newhopeeasthawaii.com.